Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you. Bill Michaels Show on the air, and we are glad you are here today. Cardinals are out of town. Here come the Cubs. You've also got, you've got the Masters underway. Bucks clinched last night as they are now officially in the postseason. I want to talk about that, too, coming up here in a little bit. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Bucks postgame show. I got to ask him. I saw that pass through Twitter last night. And I also got it on my phone, one of the score updates. And I got to admit, I'm going to be completely, and this is terrible, all right? My first reaction was, ugh. And then I thought to myself, why, ugh? And that reaction is because, you know, they're going to get beat. You know, they played some better basketball as of late, but I'm kind of like, ugh. It's prolonging the inevitable, I guess. It's one of those where I'm thinking, get it over with, regroup, make some moves if you can, and figure it out and come back next year. Yeah, you know, I'm sure everybody inside that locker room is excited about it. It's a clean slate. It's a breath of fresh air. It's an opportunity to refocus. So I'm sure everybody's geeked about it, but when that came across my phone last night, I went, ugh. Just because. Then the Brewers got beat. They got shut out yesterday. You know what? They just got beat. Chacin hasn't looked good, I admit that. Another bad outing. I'm not going to completely condemn him yet, as many of you are. I was watching the flurry of Brewers Twitter activity last night. Holy mackerel. Yes, I hated to see long balls fly out of the park last night in favor of St. Louis, but the spewing of hatred and, this sucks, and, you know, even worse, it was crazy last night. Stop. You're six games into the season. Yes, every game matters. I applaud the passion and the amount of people paying attention and going to other social venues to vent. I applaud. But keep your head. Just a little bit. Keep your head. Holy mackerel. Some people were going crazy yesterday. That, you know, I'm ripping David Stearns, how you can bring this bum in. And I'm just thinking, man, do you remember some of the pitchers that started out rather slow last year? Zach Davies started out a little bit slow, and then finally got on a roll, and things looked good, and took Chase Anderson a while, and it just, give it a little time. You know, I mean, I know Chacin's a guy that's been there, done that, but just give it a little time. Holy mackerel. The spewing of anger last night was you know, beyond, it was to the point where I actually, and I don't normally do this because sometimes it just makes me laugh, but it got to the point where I just shut it off. It was that kind of anger last night. I just shut it off. So anyway, long story short, if you were watching a game last night, you know what? The other aspect, did you see behind home plate? The guy kept saying, holding up the sign, hashtag Matheny no more time or whatever it was, or Matheny's time or something. Basically, I think he was asking for Mike Matheny to be fired. He got seats right behind home plate, and almost every pitch throughout the game, he was holding that sign up last night. So the Cardinals fans aren't happy with Mike Matheny and the Cardinals. But the Brewers, that's a loss. You don't like it. You don't want to accept it. But you take it. You move on. You get back at it again. You got to focus as the Chicago Cubs now come to town. The Cubs are coming to town. And the Cubs have not gotten off to the fastest of starts, my friends. I mean, this is not the dominant Cubs team that everybody figured would just, you know, win every game and suddenly they were going to just take off and be better than everybody else, and we were all going to bow to the world that is Cubdom. The Cubs are 2-3 on the season. Now, they got rained out yesterday in Cincinnati. They're going to make that up as a doubleheader later down the road. But they're not off to the fastest of starts. The Brewers a half game behind the Pittsburgh Pirates right now. Not that I'm, you know, scoreboard watching as far as standings go each and every day, but it's certainly something that, you know, just in the wins and losses category, you're paying attention to. So the Cubs are a couple behind the Brewers in that case. But, you know, it is what it is. Just, it was a loss. I'd rather, you know what? I was more, I guess, upset, if you will. And I can't even call it that. I was more, I guess, disappointed in the fact that the Brewers didn't even dent the plate last night. I was more upset with that than I was in the fact that, the Brewers, you know, the pitching wasn't great. I mean, yeah, you know, that's always an area of concern. Pitching was not spectacular last night, but got blanked 6-0. I would like to have seen them at least dent at the plate, and they didn't get a chance to do that last night. They had no runs, 5 hits, 3 errors. They had one on Yelich out in left field. Boy, I tell you what, that play by VR, ball gets past Thames, goes down the line, VR comes over, and I'm screaming, hold it. He throws off balance, and what a terrible, terrible play. We saw Travis Shaw with an error yesterday as well, so 3 errors in that ball game. But St. Louis, you know, give them credit. They just put up numbers. Chassin's best inning was the 5th inning, where he was pretty much clean in that inning. Everything else was not good. And he ends up taking a loss. 5 2/3, 7 hits, all runs attributed to him. So the bullpen again comes in. Drake and Jeffress and Jennings. They ended up throwing 3 1/3 innings in that ball game, giving up just 2 hits along the way. 3 1/3 innings, 2 hits along the way, no runs, a couple of walks, 4 strikeouts, and nothing else to show for it. Drake has an ERA of 2.08. Meanwhile, Jeffress and Jennings have not been scored upon as of yet. Chassin's ERA sits right now at a whopping 7. He gave up yesterday 7 hits, 6 runs, all or 3 of them earned because of the errors. A couple of walks, 5 strikeouts, and a 1 long ball yesterday. So, anyway, not the best of starts for the Milwaukee Brewers. They're back at it. So, we all know it's coming. You saw some Cardinals fans in the crowd yesterday, and I was a little bit disconcerted because you looked behind home plate last night. There was more red than blue. Now you got the Cubs fans coming to town. Did you buy tickets for this series? That's my first question. Are you going to this series? I'm going on Sunday. I have tickets to the game on Sunday. Are you going? Are you one of those fans that said, you know what? I will not let them pass. We're going to own Miller Park this year. We're going to be fans this year. We're going to make sure that it is a home field advantage. And we will not allow those Cubs fans to fully infiltrate Miller Park. Or are you one of those fans that said, I'm not going down there with that mess. I'm not going that early in the season. I'll wait and see what happens. And the Cubs fans gobbled them up because you know it's going to be, you know, the I wish we had a toll road at this point. I wish 94 had a toll road right across the border, right there. Right when Cubs fans come north, we could collect some of their cash. You know what I'm saying? It'd be what? Over the course of a weekend, $30,000-$40,000 just from Cubs fans, I think, coming north. Should have grabbed that. That being said, Cubs tonight, Cubs on Friday, Cubs on Saturday, and Cubs on Sunday. Who do you despise more as a fan base? Who do you despise more as a fan base? Cubs fans or Cardinals fans? See, I'll give you my opinion when we come back, but I've drastically, and some of you don't have a differing opinion, but I have a drastically different opinion of fan bases because I guess I just, from being down there so often, I have a drastically different experience overall with fan bases. This portion of the program being brought to you by Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. I'm telling you right now, Masters is on. You should stop out, grab yourself a Cousin Subs, get a big one. Get a big one, cut it in half, put half in the freezer or in the refrigerator. The other half, just sit down at the coffee table, sit down in front of the TV, sit down wherever it is you're going to be watching the Masters, paying attention to the Brewers tonight. Just sit down, relax, grab that pepperoni melt, extra mayo, extra cheese, get yourself on that Italian bread, side of Radio Joe Cheese Curds, you're good to go. Just go ahead and do that. and take it easy. Take a load off. Go to CousinSubs.com or download the app on your mobile device. That is Cousin Subs, where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. When I come back, I'll tell you what my drastically different opinion is on the two fan bases, but I want to know what yours is. Who do you despise more, the Cardinals or the Cubs fan base? And are you going to the games this weekend? Yay or nay? Jesse will be first out of the shoot. He's in Jackson and the cast of 1,000. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next. Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Man, I tell you what, I feel for people up north. I saw a friend of mine, Kathy. She's a motorcycle rider. Lives up near Tomahawk. I saw a picture on Facebook of her backyard with all the snow. And now they've got more coming. Holy mackerel. And then depression set in. For those of you up north, man, you get a little extra dusting. Maybe you get a little extra snowmobile riding in this season. But I think I speak for everybody. Just bring on summer. Holy mackerel. 855-830-8648. Thank God we have Miller Park, that's for sure. While it was 30 degrees out last night, it was a comfy 67 inside Miller Park last night. 67, 65, somewhere in there. And the Brewers ended up falling. They got blanked by the St. Louis Cardinals. Cardinals win 2 out of 3 in the series at Miller Park. Now here come the Chicago Cubs. Who do you despise more? Who do you despise more? And are you going to the games? Are you going to infiltrate Miller Park and kind of drive out some of those Cubs fans? 855-830-8648. On the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. I'll give you mine coming up here in a moment. Let's go to Jesse listening to us in Jackson. Jesse, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, good morning.
What's going on?
Yeah, well, I'm going to the game.
Are you good?
Well, I could sell my tickets and make plenty of money, but I'm taking my kids on. I'm taking my daughters, and then I'm taking my wife, which I'm probably going to have to pull teeth to get her to go there. But I hate the Cubs fans, and I'll tell you why. I went to the 2 games this weekend, you know, for the Brewers because I'm a 20-pack and a 10-pack person. So Cub fans, they come, they get drunk, they get crazy. I was sitting by some Cardinal fans, and they were respectful, kind. I mean, they really understand the game, which is a good thing. But I'll tell you what, man, every time I go to the games for the Cubs, I'm thinking, oh, my God, do I really want to endure these crazy people? Because they come to the game, and they just keep talking trash. I think they come just to irritate us. I don't think they really come to enjoy the game.
Yes, it's the loud, what I consider it to be the loud minority that gives the bad name to the, I would assume, the faithful majority. But, you know, I hope you get your wife to go. I appreciate the phone call, Jesse.
It sounds all right, man. Have a nice weekend and go Brewers.
Absolutely. Thanks, man. It is. And I've said this before. There's two distinguishing differences between the fan bases, in my opinion, from what I've dealt with. Now, remember, I go back all the way to 2001 when we were doing the postgame show on Friday nights and dealt with every fan base that came to town. So a lot of experience out there and working and walking around and being a fan and such. But the St. Louis Cardinals fans are, while they are very, very, very knowledgeable, I think they're a really good, faithful fan base. They're kind of an elitist fan base, okay? And they have a right to be. They've had a lot of success. They've had numerous championships. They know the game extremely well. They know where their team ranks each and every year going into the season. They're just a good, solid fan base. And the people that I've had experiences with, direct experiences. Now, there have been a couple of Cardinals fans that I thought, you know what, if you got hit by a bus on the way home, it wouldn't matter to me. But beyond that, the majority that I've dealt with appreciate Miller Park. They appreciate the prices. They appreciate the surroundings, the city. They all find something creative to do, and they enjoy their team. Cubs fans, going back to what Jesse said, there is like this hardcore group of fans that just want to come in and take over. They really don't. I mean, they want to win. They want to fly the W. But the majority that I've ever dealt with are just obnoxious. They just suck the life out of a room. And even other Cubs fans don't like some of their own Cubs fans. You know what I mean? It's just, some of them are just obnoxious. Now, Twins fans, they're like Raider fans. They just want to come in and beat you up. I've seen more fights when the Twins are in town than I've seen from pretty much any other fan base. And I don't know why that is. But I have seen more fights, more anger, more screaming, yelling, and such, physical fights with the Twins than I have with anybody else. Cubs fans are obnoxious, and you just kind of go, you know, okay, whatever. You know, you're a moron. Get out. But Twins fans, you just say, okay, whatever. And then they want to confront you and beat you up because you said whatever. You know, I mean, I've seen more fights with them than anything. So the Cardinals fans, you know, yeah, they're an arrogant, condescending fan base, and it kind of bothers you. The Cubs are condescending and arrogant. They really don't have a right to be. You know, they embraced the lovable losers for so long, and now they think they own the world, and they were going to win 7 or 8 or 9 championships in a row, and that didn't come to fruition. And I've always said they're a more affluent or money-filled fan base. They are an obnoxious fan base. But, you know, hey, they're faithful. They buy the tickets, and they can't wait to get to Miller Park because they know they don't have to endure the crap that is Wrigley Field. Even though they call it hallowed ground, they'd rather come here for a lot of these games because it's easier, less parking hassles, cheaper, obviously. So, and they make a weekend of it. And then there's the Twins fan base who just come to town. They want to beat you up and go home. And they all figure, hey, if I didn't go to jail, that's not a bad way to go. Maybe that's just my take. Maybe that's your take as well, but give us a shout. 855-830-8648. As far as the teams go, you know what? I probably dislike the team itself, the Cardinals, more because the Cardinals carry the condescension, almost the arrogance of their fan base and vice versa. The Cubs, you know what? I've never had a problem with any of the Cubs that I've ever had a chance to talk to or, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm friends with one of their broadcasters, well, two of their broadcasters, actually. You know, I've never had a bad word to say about Joe Maddon. You can question some of his moves, but as far as a person goes, Joe's a pretty good guy, pretty easygoing guy. You know, we had Kyle Schwarber on at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and I've talked to Anthony Rizzo. I've talked to numerous guys, and they all seem like pretty decent people. It's easy to like that group. The fan base makes you hate them. So, anyway, that's my take. What's yours? 855-830-8648. Let's go to Bob listening to us in De Pere. Bob, welcome to the program, man. What's going on?
Hey there, Bill. Earlier you were talking about the pitching staff.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say I'm not ready to jump off the bridge yet. However, one quality start so far out of 6 games, and, man, this pitching staff is brutal.
Yep. No, I completely agree. There's no getting around that. I mean, it just hasn't been good so far.
And I don't think I see Wade Miley as the savior to walk in and pitch shutouts one after another or whatever.
No. I mean, what you're hoping for is that Miley comes back and he stabilizes things and then eventually get Jimmy Nelson back and maybe that, you know, Zach Davies settles down and Chase Anderson pitches well. And, man, that's all the things you're hoping for right now. I appreciate the phone call. I mean, right now starters are 1-2 and with an ERA up around 7 in 6 games. Meanwhile, the relievers are 3-0 on the season with an ERA that continues to fall. They're now down about 1.25, if I'm not mistaken. Only one quality start, 0 complete games, as we've talked about. The Brewers have converted 2 of 3 save opportunities. They have pretty much combined for almost the same amount of innings. I think it's 29 innings for starters and 27 innings for, or 27 and a third innings for the relievers, but the starters have given up more hits, more runs, more earned runs, more walks. So, I mean, it hasn't been great. And the starters have given up now 8 home runs on the season. The bullpen has only given up 1. 8 home runs on the season, the bullpen has given up only 1. Think about that. I mean, if you're a starting pitcher and you're going to not have the best of control and you're going to go up a couple of long balls, you're always going to be sticking yourself behind. Always. 855-830-8648. Those stats, by the way, brought to you by our friends at Arroyo. They bring you the stat of the day. Might as well go ahead and do that now. Some good stuff right there from our friends at Arroyo. They can implement SAP and big data solutions to companies just like yours. at AppRoyo. Go on the web, APPROYO.com, APPROYO.com. Back to the phone calls. Talk to Alan listening to us in Madison on the Zone out there. Alan, how you doing, man? What's up?
Well, I'm fine. How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
You know, I lived in Wisconsin a long time, and I've been to Miller Park several times when the Cubs have been playing. And it's amazing to me. I think oftentimes the Cubs fans are surprised that there's not a better response from Brewers fans at the game. I've never had any problems with Cubs fans at Miller Park. I wear my Brewers stuff. We get along fine. I'd also like to say, you know, look at the turnout that Cubs fans had in Chicago when they won the World Series. There were, I don't think the estimate of, 3 to 5 million people was probably, that was probably overstated.
Yeah.
Look at there were millions of people that were there, and they didn't have any problems. And
you think
after 108 years, that says something about the fan base, too.
They didn't burn anything. I mean, look at what happened in Philadelphia the last couple of celebrations. Villanova wins, and they're burning cars and climbing poles and destroying hotels and such. Same thing when the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl. Cubs fans celebrated. They didn't get crazy. I don't think that I remember them burning down much of anything, maybe one car or something like that, but that was about the extent of it. It was very little when it came to damage.
So my last question to you is, you consider yourself a Wisconsin sports fan now. I mean,
correct.
I know you're from Ohio, and I used to listen to you on WLW in Cincinnati when you were a big Buckeyes fan. And
well, I still am. I'm still a Buckeyes fan, and I still know broadcasters with the Reds. I've got friends that work in the Bengals organization. I have Mick Cronin at UC is a pretty good friend of mine, and so, yeah, I'm still a fan, but you become a fan of people, too. I mean, the teams
right,
that you cover.
Anyway, so you're a Packers fan now, which is great.
Well, I grew up a Packers fan, though.
Right, which is fine. So you broadcast for them, but talk about obnoxious fans. Why don't you replay for us sometime when, after Josh Sitton was traded to the Bears, why don't you replay your analysis the week after when you just absolutely blew up on the air and talked about how stupid a move it was and how could the Packers let him go? In terms of, a really quality good fan base who thinks things through. If you're representing the Packers, that's a great example to set. Why don't you replay that sometime?
No, maybe I will. I'll dig it up. I'll see if I can't find it for you.
It was great broadcasting, pal. Okay?
Okay. That's it? That's it, Alan?
Okay.
We'll have to find that. Turned out to be a great move by the Packers, by the way. And I think I said at the time, Joe, I qualified it by saying, if this blows up in your face, it angered me, but I said, if it blows up in your face. I didn't say it was a definite. I do remember that because people came after me. I said, well, wait a minute. I said, here's what you just did. You got rid of your entire starting guard tandem in a year's time. You're getting rid of one of your quality starters, a guy that's liked by everybody and this and that, and all of a sudden you heard about all the problems in the locker room and everything, and yet every time we saw him, every time Mike Clemens would come up to me and say, hey, did you see that down on the field? Aaron Rodgers going over and giving him a hug, and supposedly there was problems there. I think the coaches had problems because Josh was very outspoken, but I don't think the players in the locker room did, even though we were led to believe that there was like more to the story, so to speak. And I said, hey, if this doesn't work, this is one of the all-time epic stupid moves. When you have the franchise and Aaron Rodgers, who you have to protect, it turned out to be a good move. Kudos to them for making the change and not spending the money. 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com, toll-free talk line. We'll talk some Bucks when we come back. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Bucks postgame show on 105.7 FM, The Fan. He is going to join us coming up next on The Bill Michael Show.
Yeah, it definitely is a hope. I never really wanted to leave in the first place. And, this summer was kind of tough on me when I was going through my contract extension. But, you got to move on, and hopefully it ends in a good place.
What? Tough on you? How much money did he get offered?
He got offered
$18 million
a year for the next 3 years.
That's a bitch.
Can we just...
Come on.
Jabari, knock it off,
come
dude.
Come on, man. I got to feed my family. Come on. Remember when Latrell Sprewell said that he turned down $11 million a year because he said he had to feed his family? Come on, dude. That's tough. Oh, it's tough on me. Oh.
Dude, you've missed essentially two seasons of basketball.
You haven't played.
What a generous...
You haven't played. Oh, I was offered $18 million a year. Man, this is tough. I have to take my car back.
But hey, we're not Jabari Parker. If we were in Jabari Parker's shoes, we'd want more money, too.
You know what? If Jabari... I don't know. I just shake my head. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Bucks postgame show, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Sparky, it's been so tough for Jabari. It's been tough.
Yeah, I that offer $354. That's what was reported by ESPN. So who knows if that was right or not right or whatever. But $18 million a year—that's what they offered, and he turned it down. That tells me that he probably wants closer to max money. And Giannis is making $20 million. So I mean, can you justify paying him more? Than Giannis with two blown ACLs. Giannis took less money. He could add max money. He took less. I'm not expecting Jabari Parker to take less for the betterment of the team. If Jabari wants to get paid, then by all means get paid. That's what everybody should do. But in this case, with two blown ACLs, I wouldn't have given him $354 if I was the Bucks. So if they did indeed make that offer and he turned it down, I do not understand how the Bucks could possibly think they'll bring Jabari Parker back if he turned down 3 at 18. I mean, how high are they willing to go to keep Jabari Parker? That really is the big question.
What has he proven to you since he's come back?
He could still score now. I mean, he could still score the basketball for sure. Defensively, he is what he is defensively. I mean, he's not going to be the best defender necessarily. He's better than he was when he came into the league, but still not a great defender. But offensively, he could score. I mean, I don't see any reason why that dude can't score, 23, 24 points a night in the league. And that's kind of going to be what he is, probably 5-6 rebounds a night. And that's who he is now. How much is that worth to the Milwaukee Bucks without knowing his future health? Well, that's up to them to decide.
My assumption is at the end of the season, when all the dust starts to settle, they're probably going to do another MRI on the knee just to make sure everything's good, everything's intact, and then you kind of make your decisions from there. Or at least Jabari's going to want one on the knee to make sure that wherever he takes his wares, that they know he's good. So, Giannis gave a pretty good deal to the Milwaukee Bucks in retrospect. If I'm Jabari, am I looking for 20? Am I just wanting $2 million a year? Am I looking for $3 to $5 million more a year? Or, I mean, I know you said close to max, but I mean, it only takes one owner to fall on his head and say, okay, but I'd have to think at this point there's not an owner out there willing to say, we're going to give you max and guarantee it for so many years. I think it's crazy.
It all depends on who you are as a team. If you're looking for star power, if you're looking for that guy to build around, if you're looking for maybe a secondary star with what you have already, look at the Phoenix Suns, Devin Booker. They've been searching for another guy for Devin Booker for quite a while. That could possibly be a fit. The Sacramento Kings are in desperate search of star power. They have none. So they need somebody to kind of put on billboards and try and build around and be that number one guy. If Jabari wants to be the number one guy, and I don't know if he does or not, he's been nothing but throw praise at Giannis in the media. Now, away from the cameras, whatever, I'm not sure how that all works. But as far as in front of the cameras, he's been nothing but positive about Giannis. So, but if Jabari does want to be one, and he wants to be a leading scorer, and he wants to be that guy, then Milwaukee's not going to be the place for him regardless.
So I'm going to switch gears a little bit because last night I'm sitting at home, I'm watching the Brewers fail, and I'm also my phone buzzes and it says the Bucks have clinched the playoffs. And I said today when I opened the show, I kind of went, ugh. It was almost as if it's just extending the inevitable. And I thought, you know what, I'd rather get the season done with. I mean, I know guys in the locker room don't, but I'd rather get it done with and start rebuilding for whatever it is they're going to do next year so you get this thing back on the tracks. So as far as the Bucks going to the postseason, it's great for experience, but beyond that, what are you thinking?
I don't think they have a chance against Toronto. I think Cleveland would be very tough for them as well because of LeBron. Boston is probably their best hope as far as trying to win a series because, as you saw the last game, they're not healthy at all. If Kyrie Irving can't play in that first series, they're already without Gordon Hayward. You have enough firepower for sure to beat anybody. And then it's just a matter of how good the other offensive firepower is and how good your defense can actually play. They might have a fight. They would probably have a fighting chance against Boston. I still have more confidence in Brad Stevenson and Joe Plenty, obviously. But from a talent perspective, the Bucks would have far more talent on their roster than the Celtics would if they don't have Kyrie Irving.
Tonight we're going to be talking with Matthew Dellavedova, and actually we're going to hear from him coming up here in a little bit as well to break things down. But how bad do they miss these role players in Dellavedova and Brogdon right now?
I think they miss Brogdon for sure. His leadership on the floor, his ability to control the offense, get players in the right position, all that fun stuff.
I think that definitely goes with it. Dellavedova, defensively, I guess the grit that he brings to a certain degree. I don't necessarily know if they're missing him as much as they are Brogdon. I think Brogdon is definitely the bigger of the two missing pieces right now for this basketball team. And you know, Brogdon did some work on the floor yesterday, according to Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, but still no timetable for his return. So even if he were to come back in the playoffs, you'd have to think he's going to have a minutes restriction. So that's still going to limit you as far as what you can do.
Now, you and I have not talked on the air since last week's Milwaukee Basketball Hour. And I was talking to Steve Novak over the weekend, and he kind of asked me about the show. And I said, you know what? I thought the last 2 weeks that we've done this, it hasn't necessarily been loaded with this star power, but it's been very deep when it comes to the psyche and mentality of basketball coming off of the heels of Jason Kidd's article. We talked a lot about being great and about how Giannis, he takes it upon himself to go next door and start working out right away and maybe being in the gym a little bit too much. And other guys, they're playing video games for 10 and 15 hours and then going to the game. It's almost like the game gets in the way of their gaming. You know, was Jason Kidd right in saying, it's these guys, it's the guys. They don't have it in them to be great. They just want to collect a paycheck and play and think they're good enough to get by.
Well, those guys don't want to be great necessarily. Those guys are happy, you know, just being in the NBA, getting a paycheck or whatever. That's why, you know, there's not that many special players. That's why the players that are special, because not only because of the talent, because of the drive that they have. I mean, you can look back at Bucks history and look at a guy like Tim Thomas. Tim Thomas could have been special. Tim Thomas didn't have the drive to be special. He didn't have a want or the desire to be special. Tim Thomas was more concerned about doing stuff off the court than he was on the court. He had all the ability in the world to be a great offensive player and a great defensive player with his length and size and athleticism. He wasted it. And there's plenty of guys that you can name in NBA history or, you know, baseball, football, probably all of them, where they had all kinds of talent and just never had the drive to be where they wanted to be. That's what makes Giannis so special. You know, is his drive to go along with his immense talent. That's what puts him on the map. Some of these other guys, like Josh Hart you're referring to from the Lakers, playing Fortnite for 10 hours before a game with Larry Nance Jr. and a couple other guys. They are what they are. I mean, they're going to be role players in the NBA, probably aren't going to ever be great players in the NBA, and they're fine with that, and that's their priority. Now, Jason Kidd isn't going to be able to change that, nor is any other coach. They are who they are, but what you want to do is you want to find those guys who you can tap into that listen to you and buy into what you're selling and the work effort that goes with it and hope you can get enough of them on your team to make a difference.
We were talking with Gary Wolfel yesterday, and he said the Bucks really don't need a search firm when it comes to head coaches to go out and try to track down the top candidates because their phone's probably ringing off the hook. How many coaches do you think that this team interviews, talks to, works with behind the scenes before they finally land on their guy? Knowing the ownership structure the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the Bucks say, we don't have a list. Well, that you may not have a list, but I believe the owners of that basketball team have at least a couple of guys that they already know they want. Search firms are stupid. I hate search firms. I always have. You're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to give you the obvious choice. That makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. But if I were the Bucks, you know, I'd probably interview 8, 10, 12 people somewhere along those lines. Now, that seems like an awful lot, so we'll see what the Bucks do. It wouldn't surprise me if they only interviewed, you know, 5 or 6. That's probably more of a normal-type scenario for interviewing guys. But I think they've already got, amongst the owners, probably, you know, 1, 2 guys or girls, maybe Becky Hammon in San Antonio, of people that they really want. And they're going to go after hard. And, again, I tend to keep going back to those New York ties and seeing who makes sense with that. Mark Jackson, Jeff Van Gundy, some of these guys that they may have ties to off the court as well as, you know, possibly bring them back into this franchise. And again, I think it's going to be a splashy hire. I know it's not information or anything, just to clarify this, but I just think Jeff Van Gundy seems to make the most sense to me as far as what they would do at this point.
What about the Doc Rivers stuff? I appreciate the fact that Doc Rivers likes it here, wife's from here, they got a lot of roots here. But when he got the young talent that was supposed to be the upstart talent, it didn't really meld well together out in L.A. It was a veteran team that ended up winning the championship in Boston. I don't know what to – I'm not a big fan of the Doc Rivers thing. I just ain't. I don't know why.
Doc Rivers wouldn't bother me necessarily, but based on all reports, the inept New York Knicks are also going to make a run at Doc Rivers. So if it becomes the Bucks versus the Knicks, it's Porzingis versus Giannis, that it's media market size and everything else that goes along with it. then Doc would have that decision to make at that point if he wanted to come here. The one nice thing about Doc is he's been to the mountaintop. He's got a ring. He's won a championship. You can't, at least in my opinion, you can't question credibility with Doc Rivers when he walks onto the floor for his first practice in the Milwaukee Bucks. He's been to the top. He's had KG. He's had Rondo. He's had Ray. He's had Paul Pierce. He's dealt with stars. He's dealt with egos. He's dealt with personalities. He's been there, done all that. And the one thing that you learn through that whole Jason Kidd thing is the psychology aspect of a head coach to his players in today's NBA, even in past years, is gigantic. The reason Phil Jackson was as good as he was because he got that. He was one of the best at dealing with the psychology of dealing with players. Bill Parcells of the Giants, one of the best at dealing with the psychology of players. Vince Lombardi, same thing. So if Doc knows how to deal with that aspect of it, then it really doesn't matter from a standpoint of personalities and who's one and who's two and who's three. If he can make all of that work, all the better. Look at Craig Council for the Brewers. I think he's done an excellent job building chemistry, getting guys to buy in and pull in the right direction. He did it last year and appears he's doing it again this year. And that's just not as easy as it looks.
Always good, Spark, and we will talk to you soon down the road, okay?
You betcha. See ya.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Bucks postgame show on 105.7 FM, The Fan, our flagship station out of Milwaukee, and breaking it all down on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And don't forget, also the official beer sponsor summer, as we get you going out at the Wisconsin State Fair Park at Budweiser Pavilion, May 30th, Wednesday night, May 30th. It all kicks off for real Rebel Grace on the stage. Can't wait. And it's all brought to you by Bud Light. More of the Bill Michaels Show next. Welcome back. Time now for your Masters update. Get into the leaderboard here in just a minute. I want to remind you, speaking of things coming up tonight, we're going to be at Merriman Social. It's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. Going to be there this evening, and I'll let you know a little bit later on the program. Tomorrow, from 4 to 6, I'm going to be at a Cousin Subs. Forgot about that, but I'm going to be at a Cousin Subs tomorrow. I'll tell you when and where coming up here shortly. But don't forget, Merriman Social tonight, the Milwaukee Basketball Hour, 6 to 7 on many of these same stations. But we hope to see you down there tonight as a face in the crowd. All right, the Masters is underway. It was great to see Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player get out and officially open the Masters. Augusta, a brisk 45 degrees this morning, and it's warmed up throughout the day. The weather will be a little bit iffy as the weekend continues. But Leishman right now. Mark Leishman. He is atop the leaderboard. He is the guy that, well, he's only through four, by the way, but 200 par. Everybody else right now around even, one over, one under, right in that area. Vijay Singh, one of the more notable names. Sergio Garcia, the defending champion, all at one under. You've got Olafable right now at even, Duffner at even, Matsuyama at even, Tiger Woods started off early, got a birdie early, and then bogeyed four, I believe, and then ended up at even. So he's right there. Heinrich Stenson, Bubba Watson. So you've got your leaderboard pretty stacked with more than a few names. A lot of guys haven't even teed off yet. Jason Day at one over right now. DeChambeau at two over. As a matter of fact, Marco Mira, two over on the day. Some of the names that you're going to more recognize, Ian Woosnam, three over. And then you go all the way down to Harry Ellis, who is at five over par. And that is the total of the leaderboard, as a lot of guys have not teed off yet. So
well, let's talk about Tiger here for a second. So his opening tee shot goes way left, and then he's able to scramble, hits a beautiful punch shot, gets it to the front of the green, and then he hits like a 70-footer and gets it in with a foot. So he saves par at the first. The second hole, missed opportunity. He hits a beautiful tee shot there and then puts it in the bunker. He gets it out, two putts for par. That par five, that's a big birdie hole. So he misses there. Third hole, hits a bomb on the short par four third with the driver, and then he's able to sink a punt from about, I don't know, 10 feet or so for birdie, but then he has trouble at the par three, which plays about 240 yards. That's a long par three, puts in the bunker, and then he's got about 20 feet left for par, and he misses there. So Tiger right now even, and I think he just found the bunker at the fifth hole, the fairway bunker there. So there's been some good things. There's been some whatever, but even par right now is not bad. I'll be curious to see what scoring will be like throughout the afternoon. Can some of these guys get to, you know, say 66, 67 for their rounds? That would be a good score, especially if weather is going to be an issue this weekend, according to Gary D'Amato when he joined us yesterday.
So there you go. That is your Masters update. We'll keep you updated all throughout the day as to how the Masters are going. You've got Brewers and Cubs coming up tonight. We'll continue more with that discussion. How many wins can the Brewers get? A four-game series coming up this weekend. Big weekend series coming up against the Cubs. Can the Brewers maybe get back on the winning track, win 3 out of 4? Starting pitching, I think that's the Achilles heel that everybody's kind of holding their breath on now. Bullpen, no problem. Offense, no problem. Starting pitching, we're only a week into the season. I'm not jumping off the ship, okay? We're only a week in. Just breathe, people. How many wins the Brewers are going to get against the Cubs this week? And we'll discuss when we come back. More on the Bill Michael Show after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.